Belinda and Penguin Random House Australia present this unabridged recording of Riptides, written by Kirsten Alexander and read by Pip Edwards and Lachlan Ruffy.
To Milo. I want you to remember the perpetrator, and I'm going to ask you to remember the victims. Not just tonight, but tomorrow and the next day. I want you to find a way to include them, the perpetrators and the victims, in what you do, how you think, how you act, and what you care about, what your life means to you. Andrea Dworkin.
Part 1. Chapter 1. Friday, the 6th of December, 1974. I wake when Abby shouts. She reaches across me and grabs the steering wheel. A car horn brays. White beams flare at us, then pitch to the right. For an instant, a rump of blue metal shines in our headlights. I elbow my sister out of the way and take the wheel, leaning back hard so I don't slam my head into it. Abby flattens her hands against the dashboard as I brake and strain to control our sideways skid. She screams my name. We sling to one side of the narrow dirt road and the other car slings the opposite way, like wrong ends of magnets made to meet. We slide to an angled stop, pointing into scrappy bushland. Dust swirls in front of our headlights, the only movement in a frozen moment. My window is open, but I don't hear a sound from the surrounding bush, the cicadas and creaky eucalypts dumbstruck. Abby and I stare through the windscreen at the dust, panting, coughing. Neither of us moves until the cassette ejects with a clunk, having played its silent end, giving way to static. Abby hits the off button, fumbles to get out of the car and walks through the settling dust. I don't follow her straight away. I'm clocking what just happened. What the hell just happened? I turn off the engine, feel the thumping drum of my heart, the heat where my jeans sink into the ridged vinyl. A breeze through the open door. I watch my sister walk away, her long hair splayed across the back of her singlet like a web. Once I get out, I cross the road and stand on the thin verge, shaking my sore wrists. Down in the ditch, Abby stands next to a crumpled car, a blue Holden Premier, stopped on the cusp of a roll, one front wheel and one back not touching earth, the bonnet crunched against the trunk of a white gum, headlights still blazing. Abby's on her toes, yanking at the driver's side door handle. I slide down to join her. "Help me," she says. Instead, I go to the front of the car, worried she'll pull it down onto all fours. Onto us. But it's pushed so firmly into the tree, pug-faced, there's no chance of that. I can see the driver, a woman, slumped across the steering wheel, glowing under the internal light. She has thick blonde locks shot through with caramel and gold. Blood oozes from her head. She's coated in shards of glass.